Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 26th of May, the 146th day of 2025. We have 219 days ahead of us on our way to 2026. Today is Memorial Day, originally known at its inception in 1868 as Decoration Day, a day to honor and mourn all U.S. military personnel who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. This past week, I have stuck to my schedule of ingesting doxycycline twice daily like a dedicated athlete who is aiming to beat the living daylights out of any spirochete who dares attempt taking up residence in my body. Similarly, every time I venture forth into Maine's burgeoning flora, I gear up like never before in clothing that I have dutifully treated in advance with a variety of field-proven liquids, attempting to use them as responsibly as practicable, and opting most often for those which are the least environmentally damaging. Head nets are frequently part of the ensemble, as are gloves and insect-repellent straps that I secure around the cuffs of my pants to create as tight a seal as possible against my pull-on leather boots, which also receive an application of bug dope. Light colors for shirts and trousers are now de rigueur to help in detecting any ticks undaunted by treated textiles. And afterwards, a thorough skin and hair scan from head to toe. Circular makeup mirrors are helpful vision extenders. Gone are the days when I approached the threat of ticks nonchalantly, and my delving into research about Lyme disease continues apace. Knowledge is power, and I need all of it I'm able to muster to cope with those powerful little black-legged deer ticks and the nasty spirochetes they carry. Family to the ones that knocked me flat at the beginning of May. And now we have the end of May with a special poem by Alan Dugan to commemorate Memorial Day. On the Civil War on the East Coast of the United States of North America, 1860 to 64. Dugan won a Pulitzer Prize for poetry and the National Book Award twice. Lived much of his life in Truro, Cape Cod, and had been a friend of mine in Boulder, Colorado in the late 1970s. Because of the unaccountable spirit of the troops, oh, we were marched as we were never marched before, and flanked them off from home. Stupid Meade was after them, head on to tail, but we convinced him, finally, to flank, cut off their head. He finally understood, the idiot, and got a fort named after him for wisdom. He probably thought Lee would conquer Washington from Appomattox if he, Meade, should march his infantry behind him, Lee. Ah, well, the unaccountable spirit of the troops triumphed. Meade got his fort, Grant got his presidency, Sherman got his motto. What was it? War is heck? Lee got a military school for the education of young Southern gentlemen, and the Union Army was taken over by Southern non-commissioned officers in the wars against the Indians to the West. I know all about this. I know who won. I served under them for 350 years in World War II, just long enough not to be called a rookie, but a veteran, and realized the rank and order of my enemies. First, the West Point officers. Second, the redneck sergeants. Third, the Nazis and perhaps the Japanese. I won all of these wars as a private soldier for a while, and am happy to have done so. Without me, Hitler and Hirohito would be ruling the world instead of America and Russia. But I still will not drive through Georgia with New York license plates. Heavenward, the moment of our new moon will occur about a minute before midnight tomorrow morning, with our moon becoming a steadily waxing crescent for the next couple of evenings, keeping the bright planet Jupiter company in the northwest sky. By the end of the week in the northwest sky, just after sunset, that crescent moon will appear near the twin stars of Gemini, Castor and Pollux, and the red planet Mars. Today in 1521, nearly 4 years after he had posted his 95 theses in Wittenberg, German Reformation leader Martin Luther was declared a heretic by the Edict of Worms. which banned his writings and declared him an outlaw to be captured. Today in 1538, Protestant reformer John Calvin was expelled from Geneva and subsequently lived in Strasbourg for the next 3 years. Today in 1637, during the First Battle of the Pequot War in Mystic, Connecticut, about 500 Pequot Native Americans were killed by British colonial forces. Today, in 1857, U.S. courts ordered slave Dred Scott and his family to be freed by owner Henry Taylor Blow, only 3 months after the courts had ruled against Dred Scott. Today, in 1924, U.S. President Calvin Coolidge signed a highly restrictive immigration law. Today, in 1940, the British began evacuating their troops from Dunkirk, France, and the Vought Sikorsky 300, designed by Igor Sikorsky, became the first helicopter to successfully fly in the U.S. And today, in 1967, EMI released the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in the U.K. Today in 1907, in Winterset, Iowa, Mary and Clyde Morrison welcomed their new 13-pound son, Marion Robert Morrison, into the world. His quarreling parents had a bad effect on young Marion, who threw tantrums and repeatedly ran away, including, at age 5, hopping a freight train and traveling miles away before he was found. 2 years later, the family moved to a farm near the Mojave Desert, where they barely managed to survive. When Marion was 9, his father's father, Marion Mitchell, an American Civil War veteran, died, leaving a small estate, which helped the Morrisons move to Glendale, California, where Marion received a new name, owing to the huge Airedale Terrier named Duke, who was Marion's constant companion. Regularly passing the local fire station together, Duke's owner became Little Duke via the fireman's whim. With a minor adjustment, the nickname would last forever. In middle school, Duke shod horses for Hollywood Studios, and in high school, he played football for Glendale High School, the 1924 league champion. He earned a football scholarship to the University of Southern California, but lost the stipend due to a body surfing accident that broke his collarbone, curtailing his athletic career and forcing him to leave college. He decided to become a prop man, which, unbeknownst to him, would lead to the School of Hard Knocks under director John Ford, who eventually hired Duke to play a football player, a role he played well, and the studio changed his name to John Wayne. At age 32, Duke had finally become a star in John Ford's 1939 film, Stagecoach. In the next decade, Duke's hair would begin to thin, and he took to wearing a hairpiece, an accessory that had its moments. My girlfriend Kathleen tells me of an Oakland, California YMCA scuba diving trip she was part of for Easter vacation 1959 to Catalina Island, where Duke was on his motor yacht Norwester that was tied up at the pier, upon which Kathleen and her friends were standing 50 feet away. Suddenly, they saw Duke become quite animated, with some crew members as well, who were all chasing the hairpiece that had just blown off of Duke's head, successfully snagging the toupee before it blew overboard. Now, some years later, when Duke was being roasted at the Harvard Lampoon, a student asked, "Is it true that your toupee is real mohair?" Duke responded by stroking the top of his head and saying, "This is real hair. It's not mine, but it's real." In 1971, John Wayne observed of his stage name, "I didn't have any say in it, but I think it's a great name. It's short and strong and to the point. It took me a long time to get used to it, though. I still don't recognize it when somebody calls me John." Today is also the birthday in 1874 of French aviator Henri Farman, in 1877 of American freeform dancer Isadora Duncan, in 1883 of American vaudeville singer, dancer, and actress Mamie Smith, in 1886 of American Lithuanian jazz singer Al Jolson, in 1895 of Hungarian actor Paul Lucas, in 1913 of English actor Peter Cushing, in 1914 of Scottish actor Archie Duncan, and of American jazz trumpeter Ziggy Elman, in 1920 of American singer Peggy Lee, In 1923 of American actor James R. Ness. In 1926 of American jazz trumpeter and composer Miles Davis. In 1940 of American drummer, singer, and actor Levon Helm. In 1941 of British rock singer Art Sharp. In 1942 of British rock guitarist Ray Ennis. In 1944 of Welsh rock keyboardist Verdun Allen. And of Canadian drummer Gary Peterson. In 1946 of English rock guitarist Mick Ronson. In 1948 of American rock singer-songwriter Stevie Nicks. In 1949 of American country singer-songwriter Hank Williams Jr., of American actress Pam Grier, and of American actor Philip Michael Thomas. In 1951 of the first American woman to go to space, Sally Ride. In 1964 of American musician Lenny Kravitz. In 1966 of British actress Helena Bonham Carter, and in 1975 of American singer-songwriter Lauryn Hill. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise, welcoming this 10th full week of spring and the 22nd week of 2025, and wishing everyone an honorable Memorial Day.